Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's Call for Action's president and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Your experience in a hospital or a residential treatment center may be greatly affected by the quality of the nursing care you receive. What are the practices and procedures that make a difference to patients? How can they be improved? Well, 6 years of research has identified ways to improve health care and the delivery of that care to patients. We're going to talk with Mary Naylor, who's the director of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and is responsible for starting this the study and overseeing it and making the results public. Mary, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
I'm delighted to be here, Shirley. Thank you for having me.
Now, this, of course, is so critically important. I mean, as someone who just not too long ago had both knees replaced, I really appreciate the quality of medical care that I received in the hospital, both from the doctor and the nursing staff. Tell me, what was the motivation behind doing this? And as you said to me before we went on the air, this is actually a series of studies that you've done, correct?
That's right. So I have had the great fortune to co-direct a program sponsored by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation that is really directed at how to figure out how to develop through evidence what it is that nurses contribute to the kind of care that you receive when you are hospitalized or when you're receiving care in the community. And we were also interested not only just building evidence to make that case, but also how to figure out once we build it, once we know how to get things better through rigorous evidence, how to make it happen, how to make the latest state-of-the-art findings, make that available to patients, to families, and to communities. And so we started in 2005 a program that invited teams from across the country to compete for proposals, ideas that they thought could have a major impact on the most significant health issues that we confront in our nation, and to figure out how it is that we can demonstrate what nurses do, what they bring to the patient, that will be essential moving forward.
Now, why is the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation particularly interested in this subject?
Well, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation has had a long history in support of and recognition of nurses' central role in healthcare delivery, and has a number of programs dedicated many resources to try to address some of the challenges that the largest group of health professionals in this country confront, making sure that we have prepared enough graduates to deliver the kinds of services people need, making sure that they're consistently delivering the highest quality care so that you can expect the same kind of service regardless of where you go for care.
So it shouldn't matter if you're in a small town or a big city.
That's exactly right.
You should be
right.
Able to get the kind of treatment that you need, and it should be consistent.
That's exactly right. And they finally, to make sure that we can convince policymakers about how to make the best investments in environments create the opportunities for nurses to be able to function to the top of their capacity.
Were there things that surprised you that came out of this study? What were some of the things that were what you would consider the highlights?
Well, we never started the program with the sense that we had the answers. We were interested, on the one hand, to define solutions to big health problems, but also to recognize that we might uncover along the way that there are gaps in quality that we need to fill. And so I would say the surprises have been in the way that we designed the program. We designed it to say we will get to rigorous evidence. We'll be able to make the business case for the highest quality investment in nursing if we bring people onto teams who are doing the research and who bring multiple lenses to this. So it's not just nurse scholars conducting this work. It's scholars from multiple disciplines, social sciences, healthcare economists, engineers, people that are looking at how it is that we will get to better medication management, how we'll prevent falls, how we'll accomplish all the things that people care about.
Okay, so now how did you put this into effect? I understand the concept, but let's talk about the practicalities.
Great. So each year we would define an area, the program would define an area that was matched with national priorities. So how do we get to more efficient care, reduce waste? How do we get to higher value care? And in each case, the question is, how do nurses contribute to those outcomes? So we would define an area that we knew mapped and aligned with something that our country needs to be very concerned about. How do we get to the right set of care processes? How do we get to the right measures?
Okay, I understand the questions, but how did you
do this? Sent a call for proposals out throughout the country, invited teams to offer ideas that they would then submit. We had those brief ideas reviewed by stakeholders, not just scientists, but people that use the findings from research,
right.
Healthcare leaders, policymakers. We had a lot of people participate in that. Then the best ideas were funded. 2-year studies were funded to answer the questions.
But let me just stop you here. I understand what you're saying there, but for the listener who's saying, okay, how did you take this and put it into practice in a hospital? Did you actually take the proposals that you thought had validity to see, for example, how they increased efficiency?
Yes.
Did you do something of that nature in a hospital?
Well, and what you're asking is the central question here, which is not how much you, not just building knowledge, which
That's
is
right.
how to do better medication
exactly.
management, but can you make it happen? And we did this in two parts. The program started off by saying, how do we get the right knowledge, the right evidence? And now we're focused on how to implement it in the real world. So
right.
we have teams right now who are testing how fall risk assessment and prevention can contribute to reduction in falls, which is one of the major reasons causes of mortality and disability in this country.
All right. Now, what would be some of the things that would be tested? For example, you're getting rid of scatter rugs. You're making sure there's no ledges when people are in hospitals. And I'm assuming this is all in some sort of a treatment facility where you're actually conducting to see how these suggestions work, correct?
Well, we started out in hospitals, but we ended up everywhere
okay.
where nurses.
Oh yeah, in treatment centers, right?
In any interaction with people that
right.
they in their homes, in primary care settings, and so on. But to give you some specific examples on the issue around falls, for what we were able to do, that team that did this, and there are actually a couple of teams that mm-hmm. are looking at this, but one team, for example, created a board that was in a patient's room that identified the specific reasons. We know overall what the risks for falls are,
sure.
but what are the reasons that you're at risk for
falls? Why do they happen?
They list them on the board. Then every member of the team, anyone who comes into that room, knows what to look for in terms of. So this
okay.
is not just nurses. This is the entire team. This
the
is
staff.
A nurse-led intervention, but it's every staff member who comes in is alert for the challenges and helps to prevent those risks.
Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Mary Naylor. She's the director of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And we're talking about an innovative 6-year group of studies that was done to figure out how nursing care can improve the quality of life for patients, their experiences in hospitals, and also for children. That was, I think, a very significant part of what you did. But just going back, so you're putting this into the real world.
Yes.
You're out there testing the theories that have been developed to see how, in fact, they're going to affect the incidence of falls, for example.
Exactly. The last group of teams selected were selected specifically to figure out how do we make our healthcare system use what we've learned
mm-hmm.
from really
mm-hmm.
rigorous studies conducted earlier. And so we are in areas such as pain management, care coordination. Think about the things that people care about.
Yes.
They care about function. So there's a team that's looking at in assisted living facilities, how to improve the physical function of those residing in those facilities. Medication errors are one of the major sources of problems,
mm-hmm.
not just for people who are in one setting, but as they move among multiple physicians
right.
across, from hospital to home. So we have teams that are looking at how to better prepare patients for these transitions from hospital to home, better prepare them and their families to understand the how to deal with the medication challenges that they're going to confront. So in every way, and what I think is unbelievably important is that all of this is grounded in what consumers care about.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Medical errors create so many problems for patients. I've read some of the studies on how often they occur, and they occur at all levels of care.
Yes.
Everywhere from the hospital, the nurse, the doctor, to the pharmacy.
Well, we had one
and
team.
And the patient, the way they use medicines.
Exactly. And we have one team that suggests sometimes knowledge about what to do right isn't the only thing that counts.
Unfortunately,
yes. They looked at how interruptions that occur on units for nurses who are trying to do something, such as deliver medications, can result in really critical errors. So it's not just about how to get the right information to people, but also how to create the right systems that allow people to do what they know is best on behalf mm-hmm. of patients and families.
Now, so you're implementing many of the suggestions and things that came out of this 6 years. And you're putting these into real situations.
Settings. And I think that is a defining characteristic of our program. We right from the beginning brought to the teams that were trying to figure out how to solve these problems. We brought them in contact with consumers, with other clinicians, with health system leaders, and they were able right from the beginning to receive guidance. And it would say something like, you know, if you were a patient receiving this, what would be important to you? So
right.
They got to design their work with input from the people that would ultimately, hopefully, benefit from their work. And I think that has made a difference. But this area of focusing on how to make it happen, translating it.
That's really important.
It's central.
Yeah.
It's not about just publishing. It's about making it happen in the real world.
Because if good ideas aren't applied and tested, then they're of no use to anyone. Right?
And no, and we have this long history in health where it takes often 17, 20 years for some good ideas to make it, and we can't afford that anymore.
Now, I totally understand what you're saying. Okay, let's just take a look at some of the where you expect this to go. All right, so you've done the 6-year study, and this is still part of it. How long is this going to take? Do you have any kind of timeline here as to where you think that you're going to find some definitive ideas that are? But you're putting them into place now, I suppose.
Yeah, so
I'm a little vague on that.
These are right now about 40 teams have been funded to test new ideas to get to better healthcare solutions for patients that in which nurses are central.
Okay, now how? So these 40 teams,
yes.
Are they at hospitals? Are they at different kinds of
we
care
have
facilities?
Some that are in housing. Trying to figure out how to work with at-risk mm-hmm. Populations such as young adults, teenagers coping with diabetes. We have, as I mentioned, people in long-term care settings, nursing homes, assisted living facilities, in schools, in every context in which you can think of nurses having an impact and being able to act. But let me say that, and the teams are at different points. Some have finished part of their work and now are continuing on the next phase. Some are just still actively engaged in the early parts of their work. So we every year fund several teams and over the course of time have funded these 40.
What role can people who are patients play in this process?
Well, I think this sense of awareness of what we now know, which we didn't know before inquiry began, is really important. And we have summaries of all of the work that's been conducted and in its varying stages completed at a site, www.inqri.org. So one thing patients and family members can do is that they can go to that site and see what it is that they should begin to have as common expectations mm-hmm. In terms of the care system. They can find out the latest in our understanding about measures and the things that people care about, how to get to better care coordination or pain management. So they have a chance to see the work that's being done. And I think knowing what to expect, the awareness that the The kind of care that you should be receiving is the first step toward igniting change, expecting it.
So you're initiating changes in the facilities where you have the teams.
Yes.
And you're evaluating how those changes are affecting the quality of care.
That's exactly right. So there's a site for, there's a team that's working with rural communities to figure out how to get the best practices in which nurses are front and center to better affect the care of heart failure patients. Mm-hmm. This is, they call this implementation science. It's saying, how do we make sure that we get the information to the people who
sure,
need it
absolutely.
In order to affect change?
Absolutely.
We're also building tools and resources from this work that will be made accessible. Some already is accessible, mm-hmm. but as the work unfolds, more and more tools, toolkits that patients and families can use to really help them in the kind of critical decision making mm-hmm. that they're going to be making.
Well, yes, because I think that the more patients are aware yeah. of what they should expect, the better able they are to express those needs. I don't mean demand, but express.
Yes.
And work with the caregivers. One of the things that I think has been a concern in this country for years, and I don't know if it's changed or not, is really the lack of adequate nursing personnel.
Yes.
To fulfill the needs. Is this part of what you all are addressing, or is that a separate – it's not
no,
a separate
it is
issue. It's got to be interwoven
part.
With it,
is,
but
– It's not part – we, of course, if you build the evidence that nurses matter – that they are either working independently or as members of healthcare mm-hmm. teams, that their contributions are central, vital. That helps. That helps to build the case. But simultaneously, other programs are really tackling, for example, the bottleneck in we have a shortage of highly qualified faculty mm-hmm. in this country.
To train the nurses.
To
sure.
train the nurses. So it's not as if you can tackle this solution one way. You've got to create the sense among the public that nursing is an unbelievable profession
yes.
and opportunity.
Yeah. Let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Mary Naylor. She's the director of the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and looking at nursing care, its impact on all of us, family, patients, whether they're adults or children. And we're just talking about the first off, raising or elevating the impression of what nurses do. I think that you're absolutely right. That yeah. That's critical. But how big a shortage is there of nurses right now?
Well, there is a shortage in certain areas, and we often measure what shortage is in the context of how many we have available in hospitals. So I think our problem right now is making sure that everyone in the country, mm-hmm. So there's variations across the country based on geography. But I also want to, I do want to clarify, I'm not head of the foundation, but of this program.
Oh, you're the director. Okay.
Visa Mori is head of that. But I do think that.
We just promoted you, Mary. It's okay.
I
accept
totally
it.
Accept that. I'm sure Risa will be thrilled. But I think the other thing that you are stressing is how critically important it is to hold nurses accountable.
In esteem and accountable.
And accountable.
As well.
You know, to hold. When we do it right, there's probably no more rewarding profession, at least certainly that's been my lifetime experience. But by the same token—
Are you a nurse?
I am a nurse.
Oh, good for you.
But by the same token, we have to hold ourselves accountable.
Yes.
To the kind of performance that everyone in this country both should expect of us and deserves. Mm-hmm. So I think that our program is really about doing both. Getting us to better and holding us accountable.
Mary,
for the
what part, yeah. because technology does make information so widely available to even to rural parts of our country,
yeah.
assuming that they have, you know, they have internet access, which I think most parts of the country do. What part does this play in right. what you're doing in terms of disseminating information, standards, et cetera?
Yeah. So, well, first of all, we have an unbelievable team that relies on and collaborates with a great PR solutions to work with all of sources of media. So we are using social media. We capitalize on webinars where we invite people from throughout the country to listen into the work and to hear about what it is that different systems can learn about us, et cetera. And also for us to learn about how other systems are confronting challenges so that we grow, building the tools and resources that I describe. So we're using
a lot of
different communication platforms to say, how are we going to get the word out? We have people doing briefings, policy briefs, to try to engage policymakers to understand, wow, here are opportunities. Everybody in this country is talking about better care, better outcomes, reduced costs. Here are opportunities today. We don't have to wait till 20 years from now that, if implemented, could get us there. So we also know that we have to be working with lots of different stakeholder groups simultaneously.
A lot of care providers are going to have to be involved in this to make it a success.
That's right.
I would think.
And part of it
to get
is
people
also
to understand the importance and to buy in.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that this is calling, the kind of work that we're doing is calling for a restructuring in the way we think about patients and families as partners in care. And the way we think about the opportunities for population health, but it's also calling for action in the way that we work with each other, nurses, physicians, social workers, and all health team members. We have to think differently about how it is we're going to capitalize on each other's expertise to get patients and families what they need.
Okay, now the website, if you are interested in some of the findings and the things that are going on in this really extraordinarily broad in scope program, or programs is actually the better statement. The website is inqri.org, and you'll see a lot of the things that you're doing at the Robert Johnson Wood Johnson Foundation. So you're the head of the INQRI.
That's right. I actually have
foundation.
A home at the University of Pennsylvania School of Nursing.
Yeah.
But this unbelievable collaboration partnership with RWJ in this world that I think is really moving our understanding of the capacity of nurses and all health professionals to make a huge difference in healthcare.
Well, you know, if anyone who's ever been hospitalized, and since my total knee replacement of both knees was just within the last year, well, 15 months, it was brought home to me how important it is that information be transmitted to patients, be done in an effective manner. And from what I gather, there have a lot of studies have been done on looking at how effective they are in providing patients with after hospital care information.
Yes.
A lot of them fall down on the job, and that, I suspect, that's one area that you'll be looking at as well.
Personally, that's been my life's
work. Thing?
It's the whole notion of trying to figure out how to align our care system with people. And people don't go from hospital admission to the transition to the next site. They experience care across settings and so on. So we've been trying to figure out how to create a safety net that really allows someone like you who comes in with a problem that doesn't end the day you leave that hospital, but requires long-term services and supports, longer-term, to get to better. So we've been working for a long time.
And I've gotten to better.
You have gotten to better. I could tell. I didn't know. You wouldn't know that seeing you walk in today. But it takes a real restructuring of care.
And we call it sharing information. Right.
It's
well, you know, Mary, I really wish you the greatest success because all of us will be much better off with the things that you're doing, and it's just delightful to have you on the program. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Mary Naylor, who's the director of the INQRI program at the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
Of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.